Well, good morning, Friendship. I hope you've had a great week. If not, we're going to kick off a brand new, wonderful week for you, hopefully. My desire is I'm going to get that song that's behind that, that music that's behind that, and every time I walk into the house, I'm going to start playing that. I think it's going to be awesome, you know? Find my cape and everything. You know, we all want to be the perfect parent for our kid, and none of us are successful at it because we're human beings. We mess up. We make mistakes. We don't ever do it perfect. We have those moments, we have those times where we say the right thing at the right time and it's just golden. But usually we struggle through, we muddle through. And honestly, if you've had one child and you're like, man, I finally have this parenting thing figured out, right? Like they get to be like four and you're like, man, I've got this thing figured out. And you'd think to yourself, now that we've got it figured out, let's have another kid. And then you have another kid, and guess what? They're totally the opposite. You got to learn how to be a parent all over again. And then as they continue to grow up, they change. They change, and their attitudes change, and their attitudes change, and all of those things. And it's just like, you got to learn it all over again, and over again. Parenting is this never-ending thing that we have to just keep learning. And I'm not trying to depress you. It's just reality. That's the way that it is. And it's an exciting thing that as parents we get to enjoy. Now, this series we've kind of shared with you, it doesn't matter if you're a mom or a dad, if you have kids, you don't have kids, you're going to learn stuff in this series because God is our Heavenly Father. And so these things that we're talking about that we're doing for our kids, God is in turn doing for us and challenging us to be and become. So far, we've talked about pain-free, that as parents, we love our kids, and we don't want our kids to experience pain. So out of love, we will often remove the consequences of pain into their life. But in reality, what we're doing is we're removing something that God often uses to teach them to do something or not do something. Pain is an incredible motivator to move us in the right direction. So if we as a parent remove all the pain from our child's life, we're literally setting them up to not learn how to navigate through life. And then we talked about in the second week that we as parents want to remove as many problems from our kids' lives as possible. We don't want to see our kids struggle. We don't want to see our kids having to fight through and resolve problems and all those things. But the reality is if we constantly as a parent swoop in and resolve the problem, correct the issue, then again, we're not teaching them how to be problem solvers themselves. And when they get out in the world and they realize, hey, not everything runs perfectly, not everything fits perfectly, not everything responds the way that you want it to, not everyone responds the way that you want it to, then we've set them up to not teach them how to do that. And learning how to problem solve is a really important issue. Today, we're going to be talking about permanently fixed. And there are things in our kids' lives that we just want to fix it, like, and it's over with and done with, and we never have to mess with again, right? It's like, okay, we're going to fix this thing, and it's going to be done. You're not going to worry about it ever again in your life. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to talk about it. You have to worry about it. We're going to just fix this issue, and then, you know, for the rest of your life, you'll be fine in that. Well, that's, you know, we know that's not true because we've grown up and we realized that all the stuff that mom and dad tried to fix actually probably messed us up worse as we went through life. Because that's just the way that it is. And then next week, we're going to be talking about a perfect future. We all want a perfect future for our kids. The problem is oftentimes the perfect future that we think we want for our kids is not the future that God wants for our kids. So we're going to talk about how to work through those things. So today, problem-free last week, pain-free the first week. Today, permanently fixed. There's the old adage, you've probably heard it before, if you give a man a fish, you have fed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you have fed him for his life. Because you teach him how to do something versus simply doing it for him. As parents, we really like, to a certain extent, to do things for our kids. We like to step in and fix the issue and fix the problem. And as a parent, we really want to create an environment where our kids have, there's an issue, we can step in and we fix it, and it's fixed for good. And so that's kind of our mindset. That's what we want to do. But the reality is that, first of all, doesn't matter how hard you try, you can't fix everything. Our big idea for the day is this. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, you cannot fix everything. You cannot fix everything. That's the first part of our big idea this morning. You cannot fix everything. Now, I know some of you are like, well, I am the ultimate fixer. I can fix anything. No, it's not true. When my girls were little, I can't remember, Georgia must have been 5 or 6, and Caitlin was a little bit older at that point in time, obviously, because she's a couple years older than Georgia, and something broke in the house. And Georgia was there, and she saw it break, and she said, "Don't worry, Mommy, Daddy will be home soon." And Caitlin comes running in, and they're like, you know, "What happened? What broke?" And Georgia and Caitlin were like, "Oh, this broke." And they both go, "That's okay, because Daddy can fix anything." They have grown up since then. They're now 20 and 17, so they know that I can't fix anything. But, you know, when they're little, like, man, you can fix anything, right? You're like, super glue, duct tape, and a little bit of time. And you can fix anything, at least to the point where they think it's fixed. But as they get older, the things in their life get more and more complicated. They get more and more diverse. And even if you fix a particular area in life, there may be a subgroup that comes underneath that that leaks out that's not fixed. And so you realize that no matter how hard you try, you cannot fix everything. And by the way, you're not supposed to. It is not your job to fix everything for your kids. But it is your job to the last part of this. You cannot fix everything, but you can equip your children to fix anything. You cannot fix everything, but you can equip them to fix anything. You have within your ability to equip them while they're in your home to be able to navigate anything that comes into their path. You can, for instance, you can create for them a toolbox how to handle these difficult things that come in their life, how to fix the issues, how to resolve the problems, how to overcome obstacles. You can equip them to be able to do that, so when you're not around, they can still live life. They can still go on. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to just give you three things, three steps that you can do to equip your children to be able to fix anything. And the first one is really the most important. Lead by consistent example. Lead by consistent example. Whenever we talk with parents, Tracy and I are sitting down and counseling a couple, whatever the case may be. If they have kids, this always comes up. Because we tell them the most important thing, you're not going to be a perfect parent, we understand that. You're going to have days that are rough, we understand that. But the most important thing in parenting is being consistent. It's absolutely essential that you are consistent. And here's why. They need to know, and they are desperate to have boundaries in their life. Now, if they are 14, 15, 16, 17, they are sitting next to you right now going, I don't want any boundaries in my life. But they do. It's the hidden secret that they don't want anyone to know. Because those boundaries and that consistency create safety for them. And they feel safe and secure in those boundaries and in that consistency that you teach and you lead with your life. And because of that, that gives them the freedom to become who God has called and equipped them to be. So it's really important as a parent that you lead with a consistent example. Now, those of you that are grammar people, you're going to love this passage because God uses hyperbole or exaggerated statements to be able to get his point across here. That is Deuteronomy chapter 11. In the first 10 chapters of Deuteronomy, God has laid out, this is how I want you to live. This is what I want you to do. These are the things that I don't want you to do. Here are my laws. Here are my commandments. Here's how I want you to walk. Here's how I want you to avoid. Here are the people that I want you to marry. Here are the people I don't want you to marry. All these different things that he has laid out. And he gets to chapter 11. He says, listen, I want you to take all of these things that I have given to you, and I want you to live your life by them. Deuteronomy chapter 11. So commit yourself wholeheartedly to these words of mine, Everything that I've given you, throw yourself at them. Live your life this way. Do what I have said. Follow it with a reckless abandon. Then he goes on, he says, so tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Hyperbole. He's not literally saying, take a Bible and strap it to your forehead. Now, what's funny is that when Jesus showed up in the New Testament, that's exactly what people were doing. They actually took strips of leather and made little cases, and they would take a Bible verse and they'd roll it up and they'd put it inside this little leather case and close it, and they'd strap it around their head like a 1980s Olivia Newton-John jazzercise video or something like that, that had a scripture verse in it, because they were tying it on their forehead and wearing it on their forehead. They were called phylacteries. And they would wrap them around their wrists and they would put them on their hands. And what it was is that as they would walk through the streets, everyone would be like, that person is so holy, because they are literally, they've got it on their forehead and on their wrists. Now, here's what God is really saying. When you begin to think about doing something and it enters your frontal cortex, let the Word of God so be a part of your thinking that it helps you make the right decision. And he says, and then when you get to the point where you're getting ready to do something with your hands, make sure that the actions of your life fit according to the teaching of the Word of God. He's saying, adults, moms and dads, listen to all these words of mine. Take them in, accept them, learn from me. And I want you to, when you think about something and you think about a decision, make sure it's the filter of the Word of God. And when you begin to act upon it, make sure it's the Word of God that is causing you to do it. And then he goes from there, he goes, now, teach them to your children. Now, I want to pause for just a second. We love your kids. That's why we invest more in children's ministry than any other ministry or program here at Friendship Church, because we absolutely 100% love your kids, and we want to help you as a parent teach your kids about Jesus Christ. It is not our job to teach your kids about Jesus Christ. It's yours. We're here to help. God says, teach your children. And then he lays some more truth on us. He says, teach your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you're on the road, and when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's put this in the 21st century. When you wake your kids up in the morning, or rather they wake up in the morning, and you haven't had your cup of coffee yet this morning, let your thought process and your activity with them be filtered by the Word of God as you lead them consistently and you teach them the Word of God in that moment. When you're trying to get your kids into the car and they are fighting and squirrely and one's got three different shoes and none of them match, teach them the Word of God. When you're trying to put them in the car seat and you're thinking, man, if I had a roll of duct tape, this would be a whole lot easier, teach them the Word of God in that moment. When you're driving down the road and they're listening to Sophia the First and you're like, I'm Sophia the Last. And you're like, man, teach them the Word of God as they get older. When you're trying to get into bed at night, the whole point of what God is saying here is, listen, whether you're at home or whether you're in the car or whether you're leaving home or you're coming home or you're at work, whatever, be the same everywhere so that you can teach your kids who I am. You see, as Christians, sometimes we struggle with this. There's the church you, and then there's the work you. And it may even get a little bit more diversified than that, depending upon if you're with your small group friends or with your high school friends. And we have these different personalities that we throw out there because, well, we're the different group of people. And with these people, we can get away with it. With these people, we can't. By the way, your kids see that. Do you know that by your inconsistency, you are teaching them that it is not only acceptable to be deceptive to certain groups of people, But that's the way you can get away with stuff. And you wonder why when they become teenagers, they are constantly sneaking behind your back and doing things you don't want, because they're simply following your example. You see, my greatest prayer as a dad is that the guy who stands up here on Sunday mornings is the same guy who is at home with them at night. And they don't see a duplicity or a difference. If you truly want to set your kids up to be able to deal with anything in life, the first and most important thing is you need to lead with consistency. You need to give them a consistent example, and that example expressly coming from God's Word. Because as they grow up, they'll see you doing that, and then they in turn will begin to do it themselves. Second part, not only lead with a consistent example, but secondly, you need to show them how and then let them try. Show them how and then let them try. One of the things that I try to constantly drone into our staff and our leaders, and hopefully leaders into volunteers, is that the way that you train someone to do something is first you say, here, come watch me do it. And they watch over your shoulder as you do it. And you do it over and over and over. And then you go, okay, now come and do it with me. And they come and they do it with you. And then you go, now you do it, and I'm going to watch you. I will watch over your shoulder over and over and over again to make sure that you're doing it right. And then the final phase is, okay, now you go ahead and do it on your own. And we know that that process works because we can make sure that they're doing things the right way, and we can assist them and we can help them. And that to me is really the perfect picture of a parent teaching their child how to do something. You go, man, that sounds so tedious. Have you ever taught your child how to ride a bike? It's the same process. How many of you remember teaching your child how to ride a bike? Any of you? Okay, cool. Remember that? Yeah, awesome, right? Fantastic. Awesome moments of tears and stupid bikes and all those wonderful things. And what you did first is you got to your kid and you got down hopefully on their level. If you didn't, you probably have some handlebar marks right about here in your stomach. Because you taught them, listen, the handlebars have to go straight. You don't turn the handlebars. Especially when daddy starts pushing you, don't go like this, because that's not a good thing. That doesn't end out well. And then put your feet on these pedals, and then you start to pump the pedals back and forth. And so then you would teach them how to do that. And then you'd put them on the bike, right? And you would grab a hold of the handlebars, because last time they didn't listen. So you grabbed a hold of the handlebars and the back of the seat, and you slowly walked with them and make sure that their legs are pumping. Their little chubby legs are pumping on that little bicycle and going. And then finally, if you knew that they were getting it right, you would take your hand off the handlebars, but you would not let go of the seat. And then once they finally got their balance, you would let go of the seat, but you still stood there and you watched them and made sure that they were okay. And then eventually later on, they would go, okay, now I'm ready for the training wheels to come off. And you kind of started the process all over again. You took the training wheels off, and here's what's amazing. I highly doubt that any parent who did this, when they took the training wheels off, thought, oh, perfect, they will never wreck. Because you know they're going to. You know they're going to face plant. Someday they're going to holler for you, and it's going to be like, you know, road rash from their wrist to their shoulder. Because they turned the bar, you know, they were going downhill, and they got scared, they twisted it, and they went over the top, and it was awful, and blood everywhere, and you're thinking, do we need plastic surgery? And I'm just, because you know it's going to happen. You know they're going to wreck. Doesn't mean you don't teach them. You see, that's where as parents we sometimes struggle with this whole showing them how and then letting them try. It's because we don't want them to fail. But they have to. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Now, this is a powerful verse because it's talking about the parental responsibility. You as a parent have the God-given responsibility to make sure that when you're holding on to your child's life bike, if you will, and you are helping them direct them down life's path, you're heading them down the right path. But eventually, as a parent, your job of holding on to everything tightly has to back off. And you've got to start removing your hands and allowing them to try it. And see, the powerful part of this verse is also a very big negative, because sometimes I believe in the church culture, this has been used to beat up parents. Well, your kids messed up. You must have not directed them down the right path. Well, there's another part of this directing down the right path. When your children become older and they become adults, guess what? They have a mind, and they have a responsibility to listen and do what you told them to do. And they're going to stand before God and give an account for their lives too. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. You see, as parents, you have the responsibility to do everything to set them up for success. But at the same time, at some point in time, you've got to let go and let them try. And then they have to be responsible for the decisions that they make in life to be able to do that. And wouldn't you much rather begin to remove your hands a little bit, where you can step in and help pick them up and put the bruises, you know, bind up the blood and all the stuff that happens because they're not doing it perfect right now? So that later on in life, when these things come, they can learn to fix anything. Third part, not only do we need to lead by consistent example, not only do we need to show them how and then let them try, but we need to learn to praise what we want repeated. We need to learn to praise what we want repeated. Now, there are two kinds of we'll call it discipline, just for lack of a better way to put it. Discipline's training, teaching, okay? And there's positive and there's negative. You are probably all familiar with negative, right? Negative reinforcement. For example, go clean your room. The room does not get clean. Negative reinforcement is applied. You crossed that line. Well, guess what? That means this is going to happen. I don't know who put it on there, but I loved it. I thought it was awesome. It was, can you clean your room faster than I can go get a trash bag? There we go. Like, that's awesome. Man, the kids, all of a sudden kids are like excited about cleaning their rooms because it's negative reinforcement. Now, there's also positive reinforcement. You tell your child, go clean your room. They get 90% of it done, but there's 10% left. And you walk in, you go, man, the 90% that you did was great. That's really great. Let's apply the effort to the 90% to the last 10%. And let's get that completed. Way to go, right? Positive reinforcement. Now, there is a place for both. There is a time for both. There is a necessity for both. And I know in our culture today, people are like, oh, children don't need to hear the negative. Children need to hear the negative. Children need to hear and know that when they do certain things, there's going to be negative consequences to it. It's just the way that life is. But here's the key, moms and dads. If all you ever do is criticize and critique, your child may leave your home knowing what not to do. But they may also leave your home not knowing what they should be doing. You have to be a parent that praises what you want repeated. It's one of the things in leadership they tell you is try to find somebody doing something right. You're like, man, this place is an absolute mess. Right, find somebody doing something right. Even if it's like they picked up a piece of paper and be like, hey, you picked up a piece of paper. Way to go, you. And like, man, the room will be spotless after that because everyone's like, put this away. Because people like being encouraged. They like being told and reinforce the right thing. If you want to change your kids' direction, start praising what you want repeated. Look at this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, Fathers, do not provoke your children so they will not become what? Disheartened. If all you ever do is critique and criticize and malign and talk about how they, oh man, why can't you do anything right, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, and if you've never been here before, I have both been on the giving end and the receiving end of this. Where you try and 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 eventually you go, why should I bother trying anymore? Because there's been no positive reinforcement. And so what happens is you literally deflate your children if you don't encourage them and reinforce the positive and praise the positive. So the second verse here is Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. As a parent, and I want to be very careful when I say this. As a parent, your job is to break the will of your child. You're like, what do you mean by that? We are willful human beings who want our own way. It's called selfishness. Your job as a parent is to break that from them. It's like breaking a horse. Have you ever seen somebody trying to break a horse? Right? And you try to get on and the horse is like going all over the place and knocking them off and everything. The idea is you're trying to show the horse, basically, listen, you can be who you are, but you need to also obey. And that, as a parent, is one of the things that you're supposed to do. But if you continue to just beat and beat and beat, and I'm not talking about physical, I'm just talking about, man, you're knocking them down. It moves past breaking the will to where they're obedient and submissive. It moves to breaking the spirit where they just give up. But the writer of Proverbs begins, he says, but cheerful heart is like good medicine. If you maybe, as we're going through this, you're finding yourself like, man, it's easy. It is easy when you get tired to be like, rah, rah, rah. Maybe you've never experienced that. But it's easy to get that way. And you're like, man, I am always tired. It may mean that you're kind of, most of the time, rah, rah, rah. Maybe you need to take a deep breath and go, man, I need to change my approach sometimes. I need to bring in the positive. Those of you who maybe don't have kids in your home anymore, you're like going, man, now that life has slowed down a little bit, it's not as chaotic. I'm looking back at some of the things that I said and some of the things that I did. Man, I know I wounded my children. This last verse is for all of us, Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. It's never too late. It's never too late. You say, my kids have kids of their own. It's never too late. You can begin to speak those positive words and that praise into their life and reinforce what you want repeated with praise, and you can be an encouragement to them, and you can restore a relationship that's been broken because of some of the things that you've said or that you've done. If you still have kids in your home, you're like, man, I'm so tired. I just wish they'd stop. They will when they leave your home, and then they're gone. Get a monster drink, catch a cat nap, lather yourself in oil, whatever, you know, happy oil, whatever it is, and try to find that thing that you can praise in them. Try to find that thing that encourages them. Think of your kids. I just think this is the best picture. When you think of your kids, think of them like that balloon. Are you blowing them up? Are you encouraging them? Are you just deflating all the energy out of them? Because there's no praise. There's no good job, well done. And as we think about that, we think about our Heavenly Father, and we think about what the Bible says that God will say to each of us when we stand before Him, and He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're like, were you not watching God? He's like, yeah, I was watching. I saw all that stuff. But let me talk to you about the times that you did well. Again, negative has to be there. But don't let it be the only thing your kids hear. If you want to help your kids be equipped to fix anything, you need to lead by a consistent example. They're going to follow your lead. They're going to act like you act, do what you do, think like you think. You are molding them, so lead by consistent example. But don't just lead by consistent example. Show them how to do it. Work the process with them, then let them try. You're like, they're going to crash. I know. Be ready to help pick them up. And then begin to find those positive things that you can reinforce in their life to move them in the right direction, because that's your job. As a mom and a dad, we have a wonderful example in Jesus Christ and God the Father, who does all of these things for us. He sent Jesus Christ to live a sinless, perfect life. He is our example to follow. It's perfect. He showed us how to walk through this life, how to do these things, and then He also encourages us and challenges us through the teaching of His Word to help us live how we're supposed to live. You as a parent have an incredible opportunity to be able to equip your kids to fix anything life throws their way if you're willing to do those things. Father God, we thank You so much. We are blessed to be Your children. We're blessed to hear from You. We're blessed that You would choose to love us more than we can even begin to imagine. God, we are humbled that You would choose to enter into our lives and teach us these things, that You would give us the example of Jesus Christ to follow. And God, I pray that we would exhibit those characteristics in our life, that we would become consistent. God, we're not always going to be perfect. We're not always going to make the right choice, but God, let us be consistent. There's no duplicity in us. God, help us be willing to not just let our kids try, but show them how to do it first. And then let them try it. God, it's scary. But God, You're going to be there for them through the whole journey as well. Father, as we think about as parents this thing that You've called us to be, God, help us not to just deal with it and beat ourselves up because we've been rough or we've been cranky. Help us to remember that, God, You can redeem it. Help us to begin to find those praiseworthy moments in all of our children's lives where we can lift them up. We can see how we inflate them from the inside out because we say, good job, buddy. Well done. We can set them on the right path for Your glory. Father, we thank You for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.